Continuing with Savage Continent. With the blessing of the Soviets, the Poles replied in kind by, quote-unquote, repatriating over 482,000 Ukrainians, mostly from Galicia in the southeast of the country. The massacre at Zavadka Morochowska was part of this process and shows how brutally it was carried out. Once again, the official actions of the Polish government were accompanied by unofficial actions by nationalist groups and members of the underground Armia Krajowa, Home Army. Atrocities were carried out on innocent civilians and even people who didn't consider themselves Ukrainian at all. The Lemkovs, for example, were an ethnic group belonging to the Beskidy ranges of the Carpathian Mountains who had no historical interest in Ukraine or any other kind of nationalism and wanted only to keep their own lands intact. Yet they were targeted and deported along with other Ukrainian speakers. Attempts by local leaders to explain the difference between Ukrainians and Lemkos fell on deaf ears. Unsurprisingly, some Ukrainian and Lemkos turned to the UPA for protection against deportation. The UPA in Polish Galicia was not nearly so indiscriminately brutal as it was across the border in Ukraine, but it was still not above murder, torture, and the mutilation of its enemies. One former Polish soldier from this time, Henryk Jan Mirkarek, writes passionately about fellow soldiers who were beaten to death by UPA partisans, had their eyes and tongues cut out, or were tied to trees and left to die. But given that nobody else was willing to help them, many Ukrainians saw no alternative to joining such partisan groups, or at least to providing them with support. This increasing popularity of the UPA in Galicia only inflamed the situation. It gave the army and the authorities even more justification for their policy of expelling these communities. The Polish repatriation, quote-unquote, campaign in 1945-46, brutal as it was, ended up being fairly successful. It did, however, encounter a major problem. Towards the end of 1945, some of those Ukrainians who had already left Poland voluntarily started to come back. Many of these people had discovered that life in Ukraine was far worse than it was in the areas they had left, even factoring in Polish harassment. Not only was Ukraine much less developed than southeast Poland, but the way it had repeatedly changed hands during the war had left it desolate. To make things even worse, the Soviets were not allowing many Polish Ukrainians to settle in the very country they were supposed to be returning to, quote-unquote, in order to prevent the OUN-UPA problem escalating. More than 75% of Polish Ukrainians were settled in other parts of the USSR. As a consequence, thousands of Ukrainians returned to Poland in 1945 and 1946 to warn their fellow villagers not to go. This goes part of the way towards explaining why so many Ukrainians resisted deportation, even in the face of increasingly violent racist attacks against them. At the end of 1946, time finally ran out for the Polish authorities who wished to expel Ukrainian speakers from the country in their entirety. To bring the repatriations to an end, the Soviets closed the border between Ukraine and Poland. This did not suit the Polish authorities at all, since they estimated that there were still some 74,000 Ukrainians in the country who had evaded repatriation. In fact, the numbers were much higher, about 200,000 in total. The Polish government petitioned the Soviets to allow the process to continue a little while longer, but to no avail. Given the impossibility of expelling any more Ukrainians, it's conceivable that the matter might have ended there. Perhaps if the terrorist activities of the UPA had stopped, the Polish government would have felt confident enough to leave the remaining Ukrainians and Lemkos alone. Plans to continue the displacements on an internal basis, which already existed at the beginning of 1947, might have been dropped, and centuries of Ukrainian culture in Galicia might have been allowed to remain. Perhaps. Such speculation is moot, however, because tensions between the Poles and their Ukrainian-speaking minorities did not relax. Indeed, they escalated. The tipping point came on 28 March 1947, when the Polish Deputy Minister of Defense, General Karol Zwierczewski, was assassinated by the UPA. My interjection, another set piece. Power endlessly recycles the same devices. Continuing, this killing proved to be a disaster. I mean, think Rwanda, right? And I'm sure, anybody want to compile the list? This killing proved to be a disaster for Poland's Ukrainians and was used as justification for a whole range of repressive measures against them. The following day, Polish officers began to speak openly of the, quote, complete extermination of the remnants of the Ukrainian population in the southeastern border region of Poland, unquote. The Polish administration immediately launched another sweep of the region to root out all the remaining Ukrainian speakers. The operation was to be called Azja Wisla, Operation Vistula. Its objectives were not only to destroy the UPA in Poland, but to bring about what its architects called, rather chillingly, a final solution to the Ukrainian problem.